Continue our series through principal truths of the Christian faith. The teachings of Scripture are summarized in our confessions, our confession of faith. So please turn to page 70 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. And also, there's an insert in the bulletin. Page 70, we'll read Article 30, the Belgic, Article 3, of the Belgic Confession from the Psalter hymnal. And the consistory discussed and approved reading Article 4, which is the 2016 translation that our Federation approved. And that's what appears in the bulletin, Article 4. Article 3 from page 70 in the back of the Psalter hymnal, Article 4 from the insert. Article 3, the written word of God. We confess that this word of God was not sent nor delivered by the will of man, but that men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit, as the Apostle Peter says, and that afterwards God, from a special care which he has for us and our salvation, commanded his servants, the prophets and apostles, to commit his revealed word to writing. And he himself wrote with his own finger the two tables of the law. Therefore we call such writings holy and divine Scriptures. Article 4, the canonical books. We include in the Holy Scripture the two volumes of the Old and New Testaments. They are canonical books with which there can be no quarrel at all. In the Church of God, the list is as follows. In the Old Testament, the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the books of Joshua, Judges, Ruth, the two books of Samuel, the two books of Kings, the two books of Chronicles, the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, the book of Job, the Psalms, the three books of Solomon, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Songs, the five books of the four major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, the books of the 12 minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. In the New Testament, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts of the Apostles, the 13 letters of Paul to the Romans, the two letters to the Corinthians, to the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the two letters to the Thessalonians, the two letters to Timothy, to Titus, Philemon, the letter to the Hebrews, the seven letters of the other apostles, one of James, two of Peter, three of John, one of Jude, and the revelation of the Apostle John. Then let us take our Bibles and turn in them to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. It's found on page 1,299 in the Pew Bibles, 2 Peter, chapter 1. I begin reading at verse 16. Congregation, hear now the holy words of God. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Let us turn to Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, found on page 1310. Revelation 1, beginning at verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, doubt you've heard persons, unbelievers, speak of various religions in the world, speak respectfully of them. They often speak of the writings, though, of those books, the books of other religions, in the same way they speak of the Bible. Unbelievers don't see a real difference between the Bible and the Quran or the Vedas or the Book of Mormon or those writings that other religions consider to be holy. The unbeliever thinks that they are all something man has written. And even though a religion might consider something holy, that there really is no difference between them. The books are special or holy to those who practice the religion. But we who are Christians, we confess a vast difference between the Bible and all other books, even books that other religions have as their founding, their guiding documents. We believe the Bible alone is the written word of God. Last time we saw from the Bible that God, who is mysterious, who is beyond our comprehension, he has revealed himself to man by two means. Young people, do you remember what those two means were? Well, first, natural revelation or general revelation. That is, in creation and providence all around us. And special revelation. For the next few weeks, Lord willing, we want to focus on special revelation. God's giving his word to us, revealing himself in his word. Special revelation. I proclaim to you this evening, God gave us the Holy Scriptures. God gave us the Holy Scriptures. And first, we consider that these came from God. These came from God. The Apostle Peter wrote in verse 16 that they did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, the message the apostles proclaimed, the message that spread throughout the Roman Empire, throughout the world, the message that has come to us that we believe concerning Jesus, was not something man made up, a myth, something fake. It was not a story that the early church created or embellished or altered. It came from God. Something that happened true. That God testified, that God declared. Even today there are those who think that certain things are conspiracies. They hear official accounts and they're skeptical. Well, granted, we know, don't we, that often people mention only facts that support their opinions rather than the whole story. And at times, even the most thorough investigation can get things wrong. We know there is much fake news out there. We see the partisan wrangling in investigations, politics. Regardless, there are some people who think almost everything is a conspiracy. Some think that the persons of the United States government, rather than Islamic terrorists, plotted the destruction of the Twin Towers on September 11. Statements from the government are some sort of cover-up. Some think that man never did walk on the moon, but it was all some elaborately staged event in the desert with the government hoodwinking us to think that there really was a moonwalk. Pick your controversy, pick your conspiracy theory. Mankind often delights in dreaming up some conspiracy for this, that, disagreeing with official reports. The Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he makes very clear that the message that he and the other apostles, that the church proclaimed was not cleverly devised myth. It was not some creation of man. He does not counter conspiracy theories. He doesn't seek to counter the Roman soldiers who went away and were paid to say that the disciples took the body of Jesus. He doesn't say, look, verify, you can see this account. Well, that's true, there were witnesses. But Peter brings out something more here. He establishes the truth of the gospel message, and the message of the prophets, and he roots the prophetic message in God. Verse 21, he wrote, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's key. God gave us the Holy Scriptures. Holy Scriptures came from God. People of God realize the ultimate author of this book, of the Bible. The author is God. Young people, if someone tries to tell you that the Bible's really no different than any other book, they are speaking error. If you're given the opportunity, maybe it would work to try to correct them of their error, but at least in your own mind, realize what they said is false. What they said is how the world around us, our unbelieving society, views the Bible. The Bible comes from God. The Holy Spirit carried men along to speak His word. But someone might well believe that God spoke to men, yet still not believe the Bible is the word of God. That is, they might believe that God speaks to people, but also say that Christians ought not to claim that the Bible is God's word written down, or that the Bible alone is God's word written. That is what we claim, what we believe. And it is what we move to in our second point, that what was spoken was committed to writing. Committed to writing. Now, the Apostle Peter did write, verse 21, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God rather than men wrote from God. But we have this in writing, don't we? What do we read from Revelation 1, verse 11? Jesus told John, write what you see in a book. Write. John was to write down the revelation. We know that many prophecies were written down. We have them in writing. We have the prophetic word. We have the scriptures, the writings. Now, some of what God revealed to his servants, the prophets, was spoken and not written down. Children, you remember reading in the Old Testament about the prophet Elijah. He was a mighty prophet, wasn't he? But there is no book of Elijah in the Bible. But we do have a book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. We can go down the list. You can see that list plainly presented in Article 4 of our Confession of Faith. We have this book of Revelation. We have in the book of Jeremiah also where God clearly told his servant, the prophet, to write down the message that was given by God. The message God wanted his church to have throughout the ages, God commanded his servants to write. Now, what do we make of the writings of other religions in regard to this? Well, they certainly are written documents. You can't deny that. They're in writing. We can read them. Some of them are very ancient. But God did not reveal the message that was written down in those books. The writings from other religions are cleverly devised myths, to use the Apostle Peter's words. They are written, but God did not tell those who wrote them to write them. Nor did God send a true angel to tell those who wrote them to write them. Nor did God himself write them and then reveal to someone where he had deposited those writings. Let us say clearly, the writings of other religions do not have their origin in God. How can we say that? Well, it's not science that tells us so. That is, science cannot say one way or another who told someone to write something or how something was written. This is a matter of faith. Lord willing, next time we'll get more into where the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, where it derives its dignity, its authority. But briefly today, we say that this is something the Holy Spirit testifies to in the Bible and in the hearts of His people. The Bible alone is the Word of God written. There is no other book like it. That's quite a confession of faith. Confession of faith, first, to say that this is the Word of God, and second, to say there is no other like it. It alone is that, in writing. That is what we believe. Now, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, whatever other religion you can think of, other than some of Judaism, their holy books are creations of man. The Bible, though, is the Word of God committed to writing. It's with good reason that this doctrine of Scripture is how our confession of faith begins there. It's the foundation. Why believe Jesus is the Son of God unless you believe the Bible? Why believe in the Trinity unless you believe in the Bible? Why believe Jesus will come again unless you believe the Bible? If you read in the preface of these books in the Pew Bible, you'll see the very first sentence of that preface is, "This book is the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." Those are true words. Brothers and sisters, love the Bible. It is the Word of God written. Here is a treasure greater than all others. Young people, here's a book you can base your dating and courting on, your education, your spirituality, your work, your life, your eternity. It's a blessing far greater than any pleasure, any bounty this earth affords, better even than life itself. Children, read the Bible. Know the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Believe it. Follow it. Before we move on to our next point, we want to briefly consider that when God had His servants write down His Word, they did not write it in the English language. Instead, they wrote it in their own language. And most of the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language, some in Aramaic. All of the New Testament was written in the Greek language. Now, the actual documents that were written by Isaiah or by the Apostle Paul, we do not possess any of those yet today. We call those documents the autographs. Now, young people, maybe you collect signature autographs. When someone important to you, perhaps famous, signs their name on a slip of paper and gives it to you, maybe writes a little note also. The autograph is the actual signature. It's not some copy. Autographs are valuable because they are unique. They are the original. Think of the painting, the Mona Lisa. Now, you can buy a copy of the Mona Lisa. You can go online and find many images of it, different sites, just like the original, just like it. You know what the original costs, though? It's priceless. The Louvre Museum would never sell it. Some other original paintings by famous artists have sold around for $100 million. You can buy a copy for a few dollars. The original, though, costs much. How much more with the originals, the autographs of the Bible? The document contains the prophet's own writing perfectly of God's Word, and yet we have none of them. Now, some have speculated that the reason God did not preserve any of those autographs was because men would worship them. And when you think about many people who claim to be Christians. They make pilgrimages. They travel long distances to see bones of dead saints, the remains of humans. Well, it is likely that sinful man would worship an autograph of Holy Scripture. But copies were made of these autographs. And while we don't know how near our copies were to the originals, that if a particular copy was made directly from the autograph or made from a copy of a copy, we possess many copies, even as there are many copies of the Mona Lisa around. For the Old Testament manuscripts, we possess quite a number of them. But for New Testament, we have thousands upon thousands of manuscripts, some dating back almost to the same century as when the apostles penned the autographs. And it's from these copies, these manuscripts, that our English Bibles are translated. Now some might wonder, since this is a translation, if they're translated from copies, if they're not the autograph, how can we say we have God's Word written down for us today in our language? That's what Jesus and the early church said about their scriptures, their copies of the Old Testament. And what we read, Peter said they had the prophetic word more fully confirmed. They had the prophetic word, even though they had a translation of it. They used the translation, translated from copies. They didn't have Isaiah's original manuscript, the autograph. They used a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, because Greek is what everyone spoke in Jesus' time. When the apostles quoted the Old Testament in the New Testament writings, almost all the time they quoted from the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And they treated those translated words as the Word of God. That's how they understood it. They had the Word of God in their own language. So if the translation of the Old Testament that the apostles and early church used was the Word of God, the prophetic word, then the translations we have of the Old and New Testament are the Word of God written, provided it's a suitable translation. That's important to keep in mind as we think about what we're using in corporate worship, what we use in our homes. There are many translations. The one we use here, the English Standard Version, the ESV, seeks to translate word for word, essentially literally, from the original languages into English, so that what we encounter as we read our English Bibles, these are the words of God. You can read more about the ESV translation in the preface found at the beginning of each Bible. The congregation, you can trust your Bible. You can trust the Bible we use in this church. You can trust it to be God's very words. We have God's Word written. Praise God for this wonderful gift. Praise God that God gave us the Holy Scriptures. There's more to having the Scriptures than that they came from God and were committed to writing. They were also, as we move to in our third point, they were collected together. Now you think when you do your taxes, you need to gather together many documents, right? Different pieces of paper. Each one is used to figure out how much you overpaid or still have to pay. You can't do the job rightly if you don't have the information. Well, it's somewhat similar with the Bible in that God did not limit copies of one part of His Word to one church and another part of His Word to a different church. We're one church. We're one in Christ. We're filled with the one Spirit of God. And the Word of God is complete in the Scriptures. So God, in His providence, had the church collect the copies of the different parts of His Word together in one place. We have those books that make up the Old Testament and books that make up the New Testament. And we print them together as one Bible. Here's the collection of God's Word written. Do you not want to know what God says? You don't have to go anywhere but the Bible. Now, there are a lot of pages in the Bible. Maybe sometimes children or young people, it might be a little daunting to read through the Bible. Don't give up by that. These are God's words. Yes, many pages. But here, one book. One book made up of several books. And we clearly state what books make up that one book. Because if you would pick up a Roman Catholic Bible, you'd find there are additional books in there. Books that are called, we call the apocryphal books. Books that were written by man and not by God. Books that the Roman Church has added to the collection of the written Word of God. But brothers and sisters, these 66 books we have in these Bibles, these are the complete Word of God written, not others. And each word within these 66 books is the Word of God. Man's words are not mixed in with them. Here is the pure Word of God. And while study Bibles are a great help to our understanding the Bible, we give them out as the youth profess their faith publicly. And while section headings and chapter divisions and verse numberings are very useful for finding things within the Bible, we need to be clear, those things are not, strictly speaking, the Word of God. The notes in your study Bibles are the words of man. Notice how they're separated off from the rest of the text. The section headings, in bold there, at least in this print, this edition, those are the words of man. The chapter and verse numberings are the works of man. They were added after the scriptures were written down, added to enhance and help our use of the Bible. With the text of the Bible, we have in our hands God's Word written. We're not missing a part of it. It's not intermixed with man's words. The Bible is the Word of God. Because the Bible is the Word of God, it is, as we consider in our fourth point, it is canonical for the church. Canonical for the church. Now, the Apostle Peter wrote in verse 19 that we do well to pay attention. We do well to pay attention to the words of the prophets. Jesus told John in what we read in Revelation to write down what he saw and send it to the churches. The churches were to receive, were to listen, were to believe and do what was written. That is what the scriptures are for us. They are our standard. They are our rule. The books contained in the Bible are the Word of God written, and we are to follow what is written in it. It is from this standard that the Church of God proclaims the gospel. Children think of in old times of a king and the herald of a king. That herald would cry out what the king told him to cry out. He would not add to it what others or what he himself thought. He was given words to declare. He declares those words. The church is not free to add books to serve as our authority. Even the creeds and confessions we have, they may be altered. They may be added to. Saw that some weeks ago when we considered confessions. In God's providence, they were composed by men to bring out biblical teaching concerning issues under dispute, especially. In fact, we can see even in different editions of the Belgic Confession, the one our Federation approved in 2016, here in Article 4, no substance was changed in them of doctrine, but some of the wording was made more accurate. It's not then exact translation as the other one was. Changes were beyond a mere difference in translation. Those are man-made documents. Changes like that are acceptable. Or think of the Constitution of our country. That can be amended. We've added articles to the Bill of Rights. That's fine. But we are not free to add to these books or the wording of these books in the Bible. The Spirit of God Himself will not direct the church to add to the Bible. We are told to hold fast to these and these only, knowing nothing can be charged against them. Knowing that all the criticism and attacks of unbelieving man against them are ultimately worthless. Here's where we stand. May God help us. We can do nothing else. And so we call these books, these 66 books which comprise the Bible, canonical books. They are the rule, the standard where the Word of God is written, to which we are to submit wholeheartedly. And they are trustworthy. People of God, not only can you trust that the Bible we have is God's Word, but you can trust that nothing against anything within these books stands. Scientific theories of unbelieving man might try to go against the Bible. Psychological theories of unbelieving man might try to contradict the Bible. The laws of the most powerful nations in the world might declare good what God's Word says is evil, and might declare evil what God's Word says is good. Not one of those can overturn what God has said, what God has had to be written in these books, this book. And related to this, any other religion that sets forth any different books as holy is a false religion. In these pages, the holy gospel is faithfully and fully declared. The law of God is presented purely. Think of the gospel, the law, that which the church is to teach, is to proclaim. And there we come to what is perhaps the chief reason we are to submit to the rule and standard that these 66 books are for the church's doctrine and life. As Peter wrote in verse 16, that the message that we tell to the world is about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's written here. And we do well to pay attention to it as a lamp shining in a dark place. In ourselves, there is only darkness, spiritual darkness, sin. Because as a race, we have abandoned God. But here in the Bible is the message that God has not abandoned us. He sent His Son Jesus into this world to suffer and die on the cross, to rise from the dead, to pay for our sins, to reconcile us to God, to bring us eternal life. Here are the words of eternal life coming from God Himself. Believe it. Turn from your darkness, turn from your sin, repent and believe and be forgiven and hold fast to God's word. Until, as Peter wrote, the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Till this life is over and we no longer have a saving need for this most holy book. For we'll be in God's presence forever. The day that a church makes as its foundation something else in place of or alongside of or in addition to these 66 books, this Bible, that's the day that church ceases to be a true church. For they've cast aside the message of salvation in Jesus alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, grounded in Scripture alone. Doesn't matter what they elevate. Doesn't matter if they take opinion polls. It doesn't matter if it's they elevate movies or books or man's music or dance or man's experience or emotions or some other set of ancient writings or even the tradition of the church. They might claim to be following the Spirit of God, but the Spirit never goes against the Word that He inspired. The Spirit and Word are in perfect harmony. So the Bible stands alone as our standard. God gave us the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, people of God, by God's grace, read it, love it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, believe it, live it. May God bless His Word to us. And may we bring God praise by honoring His Word. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. How a care for us. You delivered it, had it written down, preserved even to this day, translated in our own language. We confess, though, Lord, our faith is weak, our faith in Your Word. We hear many voices. We feel within many tugs. We have many thoughts, things that aren't in line with Your Word. Lord, bring us in line with Your Word. Give us a love for it, a hunger for it, a zeal, trust. And transform us by Your Word. Work within us by Your Word and Spirit. May You receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.